This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
For right now, let's go live to Rome for the Pope's general weekly audience and all the latest news from Rome and the Vatican that has nothing to do with the book that we just talked about with Dr. Matthew Bunsen. We've got Ashley Nerona, our Vatican correspondent, joining us live this morning. Ashley, good morning.
Buongiorno, John. Hello from afar.
It is good to have you on. Pope's general weekly audience inside today at the Paul VI Audience Hall, and the Holy Father wrapping up his catechesis on the Acts of the Apostles.
Yes, we've been reflecting on the Acts of the Apostles for so many weeks, but the finale today was specifically speaking about St. Paul's arrival in Rome, of course, what this action has all been leading up to, and St. Paul pleading, you know, coming to Rome in order to plead his case. Now, today Pope Francis talked about that when Paul arrived in Rome, he was welcomed by the Christian community in Rome. He was permitted to remain under house arrest. And of course, here in Rome, one of the places that my husband John and I love to visit is the church that has been built on the spot where tradition has it that both Paul and St. Luke would have lived during that time. It's a very, very moving experience. But Pope Francis went on to speak about that this missionary journey, of course, this tumultuous journey that culminated in Rome, really pointed to the power of God's grace, specifically to open hearts to the gospel and, of course, to the gospel's message of salvation. And the Pope asked that each of us pray today to allow the Holy Spirit to renew in each of us that call to be courageous and joyful missionary disciples of Christ. Because as Pope Francis pointed out, the gospel does not end with the death of Paul. It ends with talking about his preaching, the power of his preaching, the fullness of the word. So that too is what we are asked to focus on today as we pray for courage to be those joyful missionary disciples of Christ, John.
Those joyful missionary disciples of Christ, that's a great reflection first thing on this Monday morning, and our baptism calls us to be those joyful missionary disciples of Christ. One of the messages of Pope Francis today in his general weekly audience, Ashley Nerona joining us this morning at 23 before on morning air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Did I see that, and everything happens in the Vatican at some point in time, some ceremonial, did I see that farm animals are coming to the Vatican?
Well, John, you absolutely saw that correctly. That would be to celebrate the Feast of St. Anthony Abbot, which is celebrated on the 17th of January. Now, not many people realize that St. Anthony Abbot is actually the patron of domesticated animals. Now, he's better known, of course, as an ascetic, as a monk who lived in Egypt. He was born in the 3rd century. And after he had heard those words that if one would be perfect, he should go and sell all that he has. So he followed those words to the T. He sold all of his belongings and he devoted himself to a life of asceticism. He was a very holy man who was sought after for his wisdom in the desert. But also, there's a story that he actually healed a pig who was not well. In fact, sometimes in icons, you'll see St. Anthony the Abbot depicted standing next to a pig. So on his feast day of the 17th, there's a special tradition throughout the world that's also celebrated at the Vatican that people bring their animals to be blessed. Now, what happens at St. Peter's is that they simply set up some stalls in front of St. Peter's Square, so there on that long street of the Via della Conciliazione, they set up different stalls that will feature everything from donkeys to geese. They'll have sheep, pigs, cows, a little bit of everything. And at some point, one of the representatives of the Vatican will come out and bless all of those animals. And in various churches, people will also be bringing their animals to church throughout the country. And there's an interesting tradition, an ancient tradition, that one pig from every new litter should be set aside and saved from slaughter, and instead go to church every year to receive that special blessing. And in fact, the Italians have a little expression. And if somebody repeatedly shows up for a particular event, they'll say, oh, well, you've come back more times than the pig of St. Anthony. And that's actually where that expression comes from. So these are some of the special ways that his feast will be celebrated on Friday, John.
Yeah, we think of St. Francis as the patron saint of animals, but there's St. Anthony the Abbot, who is the patron saint of domesticated animals. And St. Anthony lived to be 105. Because how many times have you said, Ashley, I'm too old for this? But St. Anthony never said
that. Right.
He was almost 90, and he was still out there fighting the Arian heresies back in the day.
That's right. In fact, at one point, he lived in complete seclusion, not even seeing another human face for 20 years. So imagine that incredible kind of dedication and devotion simply to prayer. So he's definitely a model for all of us, John, and especially, as you're pointing out, for those of us who, for longevity and just continuing to fulfill the Lord's mission in our lives up to our very last breath.
And for so many of us who just say, gee, I wish I could just unplug and just relax for a while, you should pray to St. Anthony the Abbot, because it was the fact that he did live this monastic life that drew so many people to him for spiritual direction and healing, because his whole life revolved around prayer. As we spend time with Ashley Noronha, our Vatican correspondent, now just giving us some color on what's happening in the Vatican, Rome, and Italy. We've been talking a lot. We talked about Epiphany cakes, King cakes, and now we're going to talk about Little Shoes cookies?
Yes, John, believe it or not, this is something that happened in a big way on the 13th of January for the Feast of St. Hilary. Now, St. Hilary is the patron of Parma, Italy. And, of course, many people associate him with Turkey, also with Poitiers, where he was the bishop. But the tradition goes that after he had been exiled to Turkey, he said that he was returning from that exile and stopped in Parma. And at this time, it was winter. It was even an icy winter. And there was a big snowfall in the area at that time. And a poor shoemaker noticed this man walking barefoot through the streets of the city. So the shoemaker generously made him a pair of shoes. Well, the story goes that the next morning, the cobbler found a pair of gold shoes in the exact spot where he had handed the gift to that man. So it's the idea that the miracle recognizes, of course, the sanctity of St. Hilary and also the generosity of the cobbler. But there are two traditions that are specifically tied to those shoes, John, and the one you bring up is the tradition of eating what are called the shoes of St. Hilary on his feast day. And especially in the city of Parma, they bake these little shoe-shaped cookies. They cover them with icing, with chocolate. They dust them with colored sprinkles. And everyone enjoys them on that special day, especially pointing to the culinary tradition of the people from Parma called the Parmigiani, but also for their tradition of generosity in the city. And there's another very special tradition that always happens on the Feast of St. Hilary, which is that there is an award that's given out. It's called the St. Hilary Prize. And this prize is given, it's also called the Little Shoes of St. Hilary, actually. It's a certificate of civic merit, really. And it's been established by the Township of Parma to award citizens, associations, et cetera, those who have really distinguished themselves in charitable giving, the way that they add to the integrity of the city, the way they improve the lives of the community. And of course, it's all remembering the gesture and the generosity made by that little shoemaker from Parma towards the great St. Hilary, John.
So, Glenn, I guess we can call St. Hilary Little Shoes cookies soul food. There you go, a little Catholic corn for you this morning. That's Glenn Leverin's A material. Come on, a little support here. Thank you. We'll be here all week. Thank you. Handing out little shoes, cookies. Ashley Nerona, our Vatican correspondent and American living in Rome, teaches crisis communication skills and media training to priests and seminarians. And also, she and her husband, John, have founded the Truth and Beauty Project that provides Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome. You can learn much more online at truthandbeautyproject.com. Ashley, all the best to you and John. Talk next week.
Well, it's a joy to be here. Take care. God bless.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Nerona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.